Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. When did I throw it to Marco? What were the hour number one of the show? That was TNT, Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller on the call. The score was not at a point yet where I thought the Knicks should feel comfortable against the Pacers. I think they were up double digits, maybe 12 or so. That was about 10 minutes after I just saw this tweet here. As I'm going through, sometimes the algorithm gives you things from before. And 10 minutes before I'd thrown it to Marco, must have been their big run. Chris Persiainen, we know him, right? Here at the Infinity Sports Network. He had said, no analysis needed, everything coming up Knicks on both ends of the floor. This is at 10:20 Eastern. Carl Anthony Towns is screaming his head off with pure passion after a massive stop on Siakam. The Knicks are winning. The Garden is alive. 16-1 run for the Knicks in the last 3:39. Because there was a time where I looked and they were up two. Then I engaged in a healthy conversation. And then I looked and then they were up like 15. At one point, they were up 17. The stats again, shall we? The stats again, just in case you want to be reminded of them. So, with 2:45 to go in the fourth quarter, the Knicks led by 14. Teams that led playoff games since 1997, up 14 or more in the final 2:45 of the fourth quarter, out of the 994 times that happened, they won all 994 of them. When you shrink it down, teams that trailed by 9 or more in the final minute of the fourth quarter or overtime of a playoff game were 0-1,414. They are now 1-1,414. And you may have seen stats like that against the Cavs or against the Bucks. It's three series in a row where the Pacers were able to have this wild comeback. This is a big series for both coaches. Rick Carlisle on the Pacers side, Tom Thibodeau. I mean, this is really the chance to be a culmination of everything he's worked for. And he saw this one slip away. What went wrong?
They can score the ball. You know, Nesmith got loose. Haliburton hit big shots. You just can never let your guard down against them. No lead is safe.
Well, they also didn't stop them once. With the last 3 minutes and 20 seconds remaining, Naismith hit a three, then Haliburton hit a three, then Naismith hit another three. Siakam went to the line, nailed both of those. Naismith three, then he hit both shots after being fouled before he could put up a three, and then that Haliburton shot that went off the rim and down. Put you on the spot. Do you have Harlan on that call, the Haliburton one?
Stand
at
by.
The end of regulation? I would. He had to go. Oh, Kevin Harlan on it. You would think, because that tied the game. Tyrese looked like he was gonna go for the two. We thought it was a three, and then it bounced up, went down. This is from TNT.
2-point game. Indiana with it. Haliburton. He'll take it. He'll backpedal a three for the win. And goal! He got it!
Oh, we cut it off at the confusion part? Okay. All right. I wanted to hear a little more, but that was not meant to be. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Tom Thibodeau, they lost tonight. They got to play Friday. They got to regroup.
There's obviously disappointment when you fall short, you know, but it doesn't. We have to take a look at the film, make our corrections, and then we got to change quickly for game two. We got to be ready for game two, and that's all you look at. So you have to take disappointment and turn that into more determination.
99.7% chance of winning the game with 6.5 minutes to go in this one, up 17, but they let the Pacers back in it.
Yeah, you know, the turnovers were costly, you know, so, and then they converted them into easy buckets, you know, so that sort of fueled their offense. That's what got them going again.
48 minutes, that's how long these games are. Thibodeau knows they got to play defense for all 48.
They started off the game, you know, in a good rhythm, and then, you know, we did much better as the half went on. And then, you know, down the stretch, we didn't do what we needed to do.
888-710 for ISN. Again, game two on Friday. Game two of the Thunder and Timberwolves. The other series, there is, this kind of feels like the culmination of the season, but there is another series, and that resumes on Thursday night. Let's get to Johnny in Atlanta. How about those Pacers, Johnny?
I'm telling you, I'm surprised. But I got calling, man, I get a lot of hate on my boy Halliburton. He ain't do nothing wrong, but if you blow a 17-point lead, you got to throw the choke sign. That's the biggest choke ever. You got to do it.
You're right. Now, it's not like I can say, oh, they were only down three. He's right. It was a choke. He is right.
That was 17 points. And, Bart, I'm starting to think you my Pacers good luck charm, because every time, like, I drive at night. So every time they're down by 14 or something, I cut it off. I go do more stuff. I turn to your radio station, start listening to you, let you tell me they lost. And I go to my stop. I come back. I hear Ransom. Why he mad? I said, the Pacers came back. How did I miss that? So I'm sitting here pulled over looking at the last little few sets and everything else. Boy, my boy Nate Smith went off. I said, first it was Reggie Miller killed him in 8 seconds. Now it's Nate Smith knocked 5 threes down in less than a minute. Come on. Hey, Bart, you my good luck charm, man.
You can't be turning the game off.
I got to listen to it on radio. I got to go on my stuff. If it's something I ain't ready to hear, I'm like Halliburton. I don't want to be talking to the radio right now. I go listen to Bart Winkler. I go listen to your show now. It was 10 o'clock. So, I got to look at it again when I get home. But I say one thing I'm taking for Rick Carlisle. When Miles Turner was 7-foot-7, why would you take that guy out and sit him on the bench? He was hot. You should never took him out of the first quarter. You should never took him out. And we had to get the offensive rebound. But we took one in New York. That's all I wanted to do. And it was a thriller. Y'all got to love this team. It was a fantastic win. That's another F word for the Pacers for you. I'm telling you.
Yeah, they're seven away, Johnny. Seven away from the chip.
Hey, Pacers in six to Marco Belletti. Pacers in six. All right,
Johnny, I'll let him know. I still got Nixon 7, but do I really? I don't know. I mean, I wish I would have been more, like, focused or more prepared, because I came in tonight hot about the tush push. I did. Like, hot about all the Eagles. Jeffrey Lurie's at a meeting with other owners talking about how this is his version of a wet dream. That's what he said. He said it's a teenage wet dream to have a rule so good at you got to ban it. That's weird. And the Eagles were doing a victory lap, but I didn't like it. And so I felt like I was as locked in and loaded for an opening segment as I've been in a while, maybe ever. So I was a little distracted, because if I was a little more focused, or if I did a different setting, I would have seen that Pacers 17-point deficit. I would have taken all my money out of the bank. And then after that 150 was out, I would have asked my wife for her money, and I would have put it on the Pacers. Missed opportunity. Oh, God. Missed opportunity indeed. Doug is in Wisconsin. What's up, Doug?
Hey, Doug from Racine, baby.
What's up, my guy?
You know, all around here, everybody doesn't want Indiana to win, but tell me the truth. The Knicks or Indiana, I will vote for the Indiana team every single time. I remember the Rick Smith days, Reggie Miller days, and them never winning anything. And I'm still, even though the Halliburtons aren't lovable, I'm still going to root for Indiana. And then I'm going to root for OKC or Minnesota to beat them. Because how great would it be for Minnesota basketball team to win a championship when the Vikings haven't won one? There would be nothing greater
than
that.
Well, the same people root for the same teams, so if you're...
I know, but just for the basketball team in Minnesota to win and the Vikings haven't won, you know, football's king, that would be so cool.
Doug, if you're a Bucks fan, you got to be rooting for the Knicks. The Knicks knocked the Bucks out of the playoffs one time. That was in 1970. The Pacers, every time we talk about, the Pacers faced the Knicks. The Pacers faced the Knicks in 99 and 2000. And they beat the Bucks back then. The Bucks and Knicks, what a great rivalry it could be. Pacers getting our way every time.
Well, we have to beat them. Step up and beat them.
What's your problem with New York?
Can't stand the ESPN loving New York, West Coast, East Coast, I'm sorry. No way. The Knicks have had so much more. I haven't watched ESPN in 2 years because we never get any coverage. So the ESPN loving East Coast Knicks, no. I want Indiana to win, and then I want them to lose to OKC or Minnesota. Don't care either way. I'm going to watch the series. So I was happy tonight.
All right. Well, congrats to you.
Come on, Bart. You got to get over the Halliburton stuff and realize Indiana is a better fit for us.
Well, I'm going to disagree. But, Doug, thanks for the call. 888-710-4476. Fandom aside, the Knicks do need to regroup. They do. They went 7 last year, and they were banged up. This was a banged-up Knicks team that took a similar Pacers team 7. So the Knicks should still be able to win this series. They should still be able to. Is it about basketball now? Or is it about how does this loss affect them? Because they have a hard time thinking about it tonight. They'll have a tough time thinking about it tomorrow. They can't be still thinking about it on Friday. You got another game to go to. It's a Friday night in Madison Square Garden. It's big fight night. Pacers are guaranteed to win on Sunday. Are you kidding me? Indianapolis 500 and then game 3? So that's out. There's no chance the Knicks win that day. Let's get to John in California. John.
How you doing tonight, Mark?
I'm all right. What's up? What's up with you?
Well, I'll tell you. For one thing, you were talking earlier about how you felt. How your heart was beating when the ball went through the hoop. I'll tell you, because I know exactly how you feel. When it bounced up off the back and was up in the air, it was racing really fast. When it went through, it stopped completely, probably. That's what happens to me. I've been a Kings fan for many years, and God darn, I mean, all Tim Donaghy aside, when Ori did that to us, it kills. It sucks, you know, and... You're also mentioning how there's so many teams, you know, a lot of us have teams that we just naturally hate. You know, that goes with it. If you love a team, you're going to hate others. And, you know, I'm a 49er fan, and you've got to hate the Cowboys. You've got to hate the Rams. I had to hate the Packers, except for I'm from the same town as Aaron Rodgers. And so I liked him for a minute, but he's helped me get over liking that, you know, any team he's on anymore. So that hasn't been too hard. But
well, you can't have too much. You can't have too much of a problem with the Packers. The Packers never beat the Niners anymore, unless you start Brandon Allen.
No. This is back in the day. You know, I've been around a little longer than you have. You know, I used to love the Lakers. Lakers are my favorite team by far. I mean, I'd die hard Laker fan. The Lakers and Celtic days, but when the Kings came to town, I despise them more than any team that I know. You know, so things switch. You know, and the Pacers, well, you know, I didn't really care for the Knicks either, and I'd never given them a second thought. I kind of hope I'd like them both to be able to win. But you know, one thing I want to say before I go, you got to remember, both of these teams got here the same way by coming back from huge deficits.
Yeah, yep.
You know, the Pacers had them right where they wanted them. The Knicks should have known that.
Yeah, and one thing, when I did catch the audio, John, thanks for the call, on the first half, Harlan and Miller were talking about how they would love if it could come down to every game a battle of who's going to be more clutch between Halliburton and Jalen Brunson. And tonight, they got Halliburton at the end of regulation. And then they had Brunson. He had a shot to at least tie it. Knicks got the rebound. Anthony Towns had a shot to tie it. They had a couple of shots to tie it. Frantic, desperate shots, but they had a couple of shots. And so tonight, you come into this series, you want the kind of games that you know these teams can give you. And they got it. We got the clutch play from Tyrese Halliburton. The other thing that I want to say is I also started the show complaining about how AI is way too real now. There was a new thing that came out yesterday. And throughout the night, I keep seeing more examples, and I am mortified. And this is not a bit. Maybe the fear I have about AI, because it's not just like pictures that are moving anymore. It's you're going to watch a movie and not be able to tell if it's AI or not. And that's not going to be good for anybody. So maybe I've just got a deep-seated fear about that and I'm letting it out on this basketball game. 888-710-4476. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. It's Jalen Brunson. Just looking at more examples of AI taking over. No big deal. Sounding the alarm. Whatever. Knicks beat the Pacers tonight in overtime. Man, what a game it was. 138-135. So the Pacers have a 1-0 series lead. It's just game one. Game two is coming up, and then game three, and after that's game four, and then maybe a game five. You know, we'll see. We'll see how things go down. Chatting with you about it. Remember Pat Boyle coming up. Yeah, that's how I feel, and I don't even like the Knicks. I mean, I suppose I do. I don't not like them. If I was arranging teams like and not like, I would put them in a like pile. There's a lot of NBA teams I don't like. Celtics, Heat, Hawks, Bulls, Raptors.
What's that?
Sixers. Who don't I like out west? I've never really liked the Spurs. But they're harmless. Nuggets. 888, who cares? I'm sorry.
Hey, why don't you like America?
Well, I like some parts of the league. Barry's in Boston. Hello, Barry.
Hey, how are you, Bart?
How are you, Barry?
I'm phenomenal. That game tonight was unbelievable. I was at a restaurant eating. I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant because you might kick me off. It was awesome. I was eating. It was awesome. I was eating whatever I was eating, and I watched that, and the place erupted. The Knicks in the end, the game was awesome. By the way, Larry Bird is from Indiana, French Lick, Indiana, and he is the best of the best basketball players ever with Michael Jordan. I loved watching this. There was so much excitement.
Okay.
Now, when we're done with basketball, can we talk about hockey for like 1 second before you hang up with me?
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted Dallas to lose so badly to Edmonton, and I'm with my buddy, and he's like, hey, no, we have to have an American team. I said, we don't have to have an American team. All these dudes are from, everyone that plays the team is from Canada or Russia or Sweden or wherever the hell they're from. It doesn't matter. So, oh, no, we have to cheer for Dallas. I said, no, we don't have to cheer for Dallas. I want Edmonton to win. That's where Wayne Gretzky played. That's before he moved to California, and hockey took off in California when he went to the L.A. because he was married to whatever. Well, he's still married
sure.
to the...
What's your point? Where are we going with this?
My whole point is, let's go Edmonton. Okay. Please. New York Nets, hopefully they'll come back. Probably not because they're terrible. But, well, not terrible. They're not as terrible as the Boston Celtics, which I know you don't like. But Edmonton Oilers, hockey is so important to that part of Canada. And Winnipeg lost. And there's nothing in Winnipeg. There's nothing in Edmonton but hockey. They are so passionate about this sport. I want them, please bring the Stanley Cup back to Edmonton in the Wayne Gretzky days. Like,
all right. Good.
20,
thank you, Barry.
Years ago.
Thank you for the input.
Hey, thank you so much. I love. Barry Bird.
Again, any time of my show, another show could clip and play and think that's a representation of the show. And I hope I get a pass on that one.
Intermission. I cannot even start.
Curtis is Indiana. In Indiana, let's get back on the train here. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, Bart. How you doing?
I'm all right. What's up?
Well, man, I was just wanting to know the difference between Halliburton doing the choke sign and Cat pointing at Pascal Siakam after he hits a jumper over him. It seems like that would be a little bit more personal and a little bit more offensive to me. And I've also got another thing to say. The tush push. What's the difference between that and a quarterback sneak?
The backfield pushes the quarterback. They push him. The sneak, he does it on his own. I don't like any rule where somebody can push you. And I'm less against the tush push as I am against a running back just running into a wall of defenders and then offensive lineman pushing him 10 yards down the field.
Okay.
And yeah, let me answer about Halliburton, because the choke thing that he did, obviously Reggie Miller did it a long time ago, and Halliburton said, I thought it was a 3, so I knew it was a 2. You know, that's, I wanted to save it for, you know, it is... Inherently, it's cool. Okay? It should be cool. My problem is Halliburton typically does stuff like that when he's winning, and then he is silent when he's not. He'll wear T-shirts about doing Reggie. Last year, after Game 7, he wore the T-shirt or the sweatshirt Reggie Miller choke after they won, not having enough, let me just say, cojones to do it before the game. It just feels like he waits until he's protected before he does something. He never, like, risks
protected
the embarrassment.
For what?
What's
I
that?
Mean, protected from what? I mean,
well, if he wears the choke shirt going into the game, game, yeah, this was Game 7 last year.
Okay.
So you're a Pacer fan, and I get it. I know what.
Of course, man. I'm 50 years old. I remember Steve Stepanovich. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
Well, a good win.
And also, you guys are getting what you deserve from the Pacers. You know, this is just a great team. I mean, everybody knocks on them because there's no superstar. But, man, we got stars, and I bet they would be superstars on other teams. And they know how to play together, and I'm glad to see this era where the best team is probably going to win the NBA championship, not the best player.
Well, they are a really good team, Curtis. Thanks for the call. That's something that I've continued to say. Sorry if you missed it. That just felt like one of those calls where whatever I got answered, I'd get another, but what about, you know, we've done that. I've done that 100 times.
Yeah, and that's not fair to say that, you know, we're the ones poo-pooing the Pacers saying that they have no superstars. We're not saying that about Tyrese Halliburton. NBA players have said that Halliburton's overrated. That didn't come from you.
Yeah, and you see how I'm putting myself out there, subject to this criticism? You see, I put myself out there. That's why when Tyrese did that, he only did that because he thought the game was over. That's why I would have liked to even see further the Knicks beat them. The shirt thing is a perfect example. Last year, Game 7, he had a shirt made with Reggie Miller on it, choking, the picture, the thing he emulated tonight. He only wore it after they won. Well, what do you want him to do? What I want him to do is walk into the arena with it. That's what I want him to do. Oh, I love basketball. It's so great. You know, whatever, whatever. That's great. After wins, after losses. Please let the Pacers media know Tyrese Halliburton will not be speaking tonight. It's like, it's just, if that's not explaining it well enough, then I'm bad at explaining it. Then that's my problem. That's my fault. He is willing and ready to talk when he's got a lead. And if he's not, and do you think that's a... Look, you may think, well, who cares? Fine. But for some reason, I really don't like it. And that's what I'm expressing to you. And then you can express your way back to me. And we can go round and round and round. But in none of this have I not said that the Pacers were bad. I've said they were taking advantage of teams that were hurt. They were. And then they're acting like, what was my analogy last week? They were acting like it was David versus Goliath. And they beat Goliath. But in this fable, Goliath wasn't big giant. Goliath was... Well, he wasn't big giant roaming around. He was big giant already in hospice care. And then unplugging it and then running around the building. Yay, look at us. Well, yeah. If a team's out 3 starters, of course you're going to beat them. What they're doing now is special. There's no way around that. What they're doing now is historic. There are so many stats in the NBA that if team leads by this many at this point, teams are X and O, 900 and O, 1400 and O, 600 and O. But that O is turning into a 1, and that 1 is the Pacers. And they did it against the Bucks. Is that a fluke? Then they did it against the Cavs. Well, they got lucky again. Now you've done it a third time. That is special. I mean, we've seen Klay Thompson, we've seen Steph Curry go on heaters, but Nesmith's heater was in a very condensed amount of time, and they had to have everyone. They had 8 possessions in the last 3 minutes and 20 seconds, I believe. Scored on them all. Most of my conversation regarding this tonight, as much as I don't like them, I'm way too far past the line to say otherwise or to try to act neutral. I have not talked much from the standpoint of Knicks choke. Because in this case, it's the question, well, what happened more? Did the Pacers come back or did the Knicks choke? It's always both. And the Knicks definitely choked. But for every time that I have said, I don't like the result that occurred tonight, I've said two or three good things about the Pacers. So, look, I know, like, okay, radio guys ripping on my team. I've done it too. I've defended my teams too. That's how I started the show against the Tush Push. But if we're going to have these conversations about, like, okay, I'm going to challenge the host on this, and then he's going to give an answer, but then I'm going to pivot a different way, and then 2 minutes later we're talking about something totally different. I mean, I might as well just play sound bites. Because I don't need that. 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti. Carl Anthony Towns. I'm Bart Winkler. He has only been a Knick for less than a year. But it seems like he's been a Knick for longer. Julius Randle, on the other hand, every time I see him, I'm like, oh, wasn't he on the Knicks like last week? So that's kind of weird. I don't know what that's about. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Bart Winkler alongside Carlos Ortiz. Pat Boyle coming up next. That should be good. That should be good. Did we ever find out what those people in Detroit were saying about me?
Oh, how did I not tell you earlier? Yes, I had a listener actually reach out to me via Twitter. And they told me what the name was. Apparently, they heard this live, and I'm a little upset. I didn't get notified about this earlier, so Detroit, you failed us. The name is kind of lazy. It's Bart Winkledink.
I see. Bart Winkledink, huh?
That's lazy. It's very lazy.
It does feel lazy. It feels like that's got to be somebody, that's like an over 50 thing to call me.
Yeah, who is this guy? Pat Caputo? That his name?
Anything like with Winkle? Yeah, that's a shame.
67 years old, so it's fitting. Pat Caputo, like I don't know you, but I'm sure you're a jerk.
Like a tiddlywink situation? Gotten that?
I mean, just change the N to another letter and then... Even that's lazy, but all right, at least we're a little spicier.
Cool kids like Gen X and millennials will call me like Fart Stinkler, so that's pretty good. I don't typically use names to turn into insults. I don't, like, that was Carl Anthony Towns. I wouldn't say that was Carl Anthony Frowns because he lost, you know? Instead of saying, like, somebody's name and then making it like Adam Schef suck, I'll just be like, I think Adam Schefter sucks. That's what I'll do. And people are noticing, by the way, people are noticing that account he has turned into a bit of an aggregator account. It's Adam Schefter. It's the Adam Schefter you see on TV. It's no different from Dov Kleiman or MLF football, or whatever these other ones are. He is right in that wheelhouse. He is right in the... He posted like 30 things today. They're all getting a million views. He's making money. Once you started monetizing Twitter, that was a mistake. Because nobody's posting to post. They're posting to make money. Why wouldn't you? Oh, I can make money for doing nothing? And I already have a big platform. I might as well do it. A lot of people were upset with Sham Sharania today because he had posted earlier in the day that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was the MVP. We found out not from TNT announcing it, and I don't know if this is a, you know, ESPN versus TNT kind of thing, but he posted, so it was announced before the game, which would have been, let me go Eastern time, what, 7:30? He posted it at 3:50. Breaking, Oklahoma City Thunder star Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has won the MVP award, sources tell ESPN. And Nick Wright, I thought, summed it up very well. He did a podcast the other day with Colin Cowherd that I saw a clip of, where he talked about, we've got these guys that are insiders, okay? But do we have anybody actually breaking news anymore? Insiders, journalists. Shams broke the news, but there was news that was going to come out anyway. You just found out about it 3 hours earlier. And we all go crazy about it because we need to know. That's why a lot of people don't watch the draft, or they'll watch the draft, whatever draft, and then they'll be on their phone so they can see what the pick actually was, because people find out the pick and, you know, it could be reported. When I was doing the draft show in Green Bay, the TV, for some reason, the TV I had on was 2 minutes behind normal TV. The thing is right outside the building and my TV is even further behind. So, like, you know, we'd get in our ear, hey, they're, go to the podium. So JR or I would throw to the podium. We'd hear the pick. I wouldn't see it on TV for another 2 minutes. But before Goodell went to the podium, if I had the computer up 5 minutes before it was podium time. So once I got the hang of that, a little later in the show, I'd start to be like, oh, geez, I don't know. This team could really use a safety. Then they take a safety, and I'm like, well, you know, I thought maybe they might. Yeah, even though I did know, definitely did. If you're going to break something that's already going to come out anyway, do we need that? Do we need that? Is Shams' job just to, and Schefter's job, is it just to tell us things 3 hours before we would find out anyway? That job needs to be rejected by sports society. We don't need that job. We can wait at the proper time. I think we need to reject that job. The job that's so tough that Adam Schefter can't put the phone down to pee and wishes he had, like, Woj got out because he realized the job was a net negative on his life. And he's making a lot less money, but he's probably a lot more happy. Adam Schefter, there is no way Adam Schefter doesn't go through like a click scenario, Adam Sandler movie. There is no way Adam Schefter dies thinking, I spent enough time with my children. Is that too much?
No, because it's, you know, his daughter's now going to be in the business and be more successful than us already.
What?
His daughter has been like announcing things for the better portion of the last 3 years already.
Oh, God. So he feeds it to her?
Yeah, she's like a kid commentator. They even had her on like the Nickelodeon football presentations that they have. I mean, listen, she got a good voice. I mean, obviously, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but you want to talk about nepotism in this industry. You can start right there.
Yeah, what if my kid wants to do this?
You have to. Listen, I wish I had someone in the business. I really do. I mean, if my mom wanted me to follow in his or her footsteps, I would have been broke and a teacher. Now I'm just broke.
No, nobody in my family did anything close to this. Some of my family, like, ran a hotel chain. And I thought, I'm never doing that. I didn't want to do that. I rejected being a Nepo baby until I was 25, quit my job, moved back home, and begged my grandma to be a waiter at her breakfast restaurant in the hotel. So we all come back around. I got to get home. We had a bad batch of laundry and my shirt has smelled like wet dog all night. So maybe that's why I've been so flustered. All right, Pat Boyle. I failed as a professional tonight, and I don't even like the Knicks. So good luck to you. Thanks to Marco Belletti. Thanks to Carlos Ortiz. This is, and always will be, the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.